the past month, I've been involved in kind of a home improvement project. And this little project started out as simply replacing some carpet on my front porch. And then it morphed into re-leveling the front porch, which had dropped about 2 inches on one side over the past 30 years, replacing 3 support pillars which held up the roof over the porch, replacing the deck railing around the porch, replacing the gate going into the backyard. And so this little project of simply replacing the carpet, this little one-day project has turned into this month-long journey. And as I worked on the project, I came to realize that if I just had a couple of new tools, I would be better equipped and more efficient in completing the project in a timely manner and with better results. So having the right tool for the right job makes things go much smoother and makes the whole process of construction more enjoyable. And just for the record, it's not a good sign to have to pound a nail with a wrench or to have to use a handsaw to cut a 6x6 landscaping beam, or to have to use an extra large screwdriver as a crowbar. Sure, things can be done that way, but it's much better to have a skill saw in hand, a chop saw to use, a drill motor with screw bits, levels to use, and an easy to read tape measure. Yes, the right tool for the right job makes the project much easier, less frustrating, and brings about better results. Now, don't get me wrong, even with the right tools, there are sometimes those frustrating moments in doing a project. Frustrating moments at times leaves me muttering to myself like, dummy, write down the measurements if you can't remember them. Or, for crying out loud, Kent, only an idiot would do it like that. So, I see the smirks on your faces. You've been there having that self-conversation as well, haven't you? I bring this concept to you of the right tool for the right job to your attention because as I prepared for this week's message, I reviewed an article about the father's toolbox. This dandy little article gave some advice to dads on the right kind of tools that could help in assisting dads to build a solid foundation in the lives of their children. However, before I talk about the tools in the father's toolbox, I want to first share with you some sage carpenter's theory. I was taught this theory by a wise sage carpenter who gave me this rule of thumb. Never do finish work when you're tired or in a hurry. The reason for this advice was it was helpful because you can't rush through the finish work and expect to get the best outcome on the project. You see, when you're in a hurry or when you're working tired, you make mistakes. And you become satisfied with mediocre work. And you say, oh, that's just good enough because you're too tired to do it again or to do it right. And you don't really mean when you say it's good enough that it's really good. You're saying that just so you can say it's over and done. And so now no carpenter ever starts a project with the goal of saying, hey, I'm going to produce some of my very best mediocre work today. Just try selling that philosophy to a customer and see how many jobs it gets you. This carpenter's theory is good advice for a dad in constructing the foundation of a child's life. When it comes to being a dad, don't deal with the important work of discipline when you are tired, when you're in a hurry, when you're emotionally frustrated, or otherwise out of sorts with the world. You never want your frustration to deal with a discipline issue with your child. it is always best to wait till you're well rested, that you've had opportunity to consult with the Lord, that you've been able to seek His counsel concerning the best discipline strategy to use with a child. How you deal with discipline teaches your child a lot about how they need to deal with life themselves. With this theory in mind, let's take a moment to look at the Father's Toolbox. Now, in the Father's Toolbox, there's some very useful items in helping a dad build a solid foundation under their children. First, there is the hammer. The hammer is a great tool, and before you get concerned that I'm going to advocate using a hammer to advocate pounding on the child, that's not what I'm saying, so let's get that out of the way real quick. This isn't the corporal punishment tool, okay? The purpose of the hammer analogy is to teach us that a dad has a powerful tool in his hand, a powerful tool to be used in their child's life. It is important for you to be balanced and in control in the teaching and training and guiding of your child. The wisdom of the hammer is to use the hammer with the right force in regard to the project you're doing for a better outcome. For instance, if I'm framing a house, I use a framing hammer. And the hammer is heavier, and it requires a lot of force to set the nail into the wood. However, I don't use a framing hammer when I'm doing finish work. Finish work requires a little different strategy, a little different approach, and a little bit different tool. And so seeking God's wisdom and using the right force is an essential part of helping our children mature in Christ and to grow into responsible adulthood. Ephesians 6:4 says this, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." You know, if you use a hammer with the wrong force, you're going to provoke your children to wrath. It is choosing the right instrument and the right tool for the right application that brings about the best product. Now, you might think a hammer is an odd tool to use under the guise of fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So let me explain my point a little further here as we look at the teaching of this text. The term translated bring them up means to nourish them up into maturity. That's a kind of a literal meaning behind this term. Now, we all know children initially come into this world with immature thinking. They come into this world with uncontrolled emotions. And I hate to say it, that no matter how warm, cuddly, and innocent they look, they're all born with a sin nature as well. And it is the calling of a dad to nourish up his child to maturity, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. That is the calling that God has placed on a father's life. The term nurture means to be involved in the whole training of a child, which includes the cultivating of the mind, the training of morals, the addressing of the spiritual issues in a child's life. Admonition means the use of encouraging words that train, discipline, and correct a child. And you know, the passage says that we are to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So this, my claw hammer, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was using it, I needed it as I was setting the 4x4 posts that hold up the roof of my porch. And after bracing up the beams and sliding the 4x4 post into place, it looked pretty good. But when I pulled out the level, I discovered it needed an adjustment. It was about 3/4 of an inch off, leaning too far to the north. So I thought I would use the hammer and hit the bottom of the post to move the bottom 3/4 of an inch to make adjustment, to make it stand true. I took the hammer and I whacked on the post, and oops, I had one of those Kent, you're an idiot moment, you know? Because what I found that is when I took my claw hammer and I hit the bottom of the post, it left an indentation in that nice fresh wood that I had just put up there. Wrong tool for the application that I was trying to do. So what I did instead was I went back to my toolbox, got my rubber mallet, and I used it at the bottom of the post. And you know what? As I struck the bottom of it, it moved over a little bit and didn't leave any indentations in the wood. You see, when I hit it with this hammer, I was abusing the wood. I scarred it and I damaged it. We don't want to do that with our children. We don't want to use the wrong tool when we work with them. We want to make sure that we're using the right tool that will bring about the proper correction and cause them to stand true. And it won't leave emotional scars, spiritual scars on their life. And so using the right hammer, using the right tool is important to the whole process of child rearing. So what I learned from this analogy is that dads, your discipline should never abuse a child physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Abuse is a destructive force in the life of the child that leaves scars. Proper discipline is designed to adjust bad behavior into good behavior. It doesn't leave scars. Proper discipline is designed to help change bad attitude to good attitude, bad values to good values. These are things a father is able to teach their children when using the right tool. God says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." To avoid provoking a child to wrath, use the rubber mallet to level the supports that hold up the roof. The point is, don't use major consequences for minor offenses. You know what happens if you use major consequences for minor offenses? Then a major problem comes up and you've used up your arsenal of discipline, right? So minor offenses, minor consequences. Major offenses, major consequences. Minor things are minor, major things are major. Treat them accordingly. And by the way, grab the rubber mallet. The second thing that I was thinking about in regard to my little project was the level. What a great tool this thing is. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they become discouraged." So dads, you must have a fair-minded, level head when working with your children. I know sometimes, very rare occasions, of course, when my children didn't obey what I asked them to do, my focus could turn to protecting my ego. I'm the dad and you will do what I say, versus me looking at discipline from the perspective of what is the best thing to do to help me train my children how to grow up, to love Jesus, and to do the right thing, to be personally responsible people. This does not mean that parents shouldn't be the authority in their lives, for indeed, parents should be the authority in a child's life. They most certainly need to be that, otherwise anarchy is going to develop in the home. However, a dad's ego trip, that is the wrong reason for corrective behavior. His ego, rather than his child's best interest becomes the center of discipline. Additionally, a dad who advocates his responsibility to be a level-headed leader in the home by, you don't want to advocate, or what's the term I'm looking for? You don't want to advocate or abandon your responsibility in your home by being an absent dad. Your home needs level-headed leadership from the dad in the home. An absent dad is destructive to a child's development, as destructive as a superego. So let me dig a little deeper into this idea of dad needing to have a level head as a parent. Dad, in your child's life, you are the most powerful person in the world, especially when your children are young. You know, that old saying, when you're young, my dad can beat your dad up. Why? Because my dad's strong. My dad's powerful. He's the strongest of strong ones. That's how children see their dads. And so the power of your words and the attitude of your spirit in terms of how you talk with your children and how you discipline your children, it can crush or maim your child's spirit, or it can lift up your child's sense of value in your eyes and worth to you. Throughout the years of ministry, I can't even begin to tell you how many people have sat in my office with devastating things that they thought about themselves and how they looked at their lives because of a father who was abusive, or because of a father who was absent, or because of things that were said to them consistently when fits of rage would rule in the household. Level-headedness is an important value in being the leader of your home and the patriarch of your home. Discipline should be for healthy and good reasons, for the best interest of helping your child to grow up with good values and appropriate respect for others and their property, to grow up understanding and knowing that their Heavenly Father, of who their Heavenly Father is, because, you know, their picture of who their Heavenly Father is springboards from who their earthly father is. Notice a word that is closely associated with discipline is disciple. Discipline should be for the purpose of discipleship in your child's life. And you need a level head. You need direction from the Holy Spirit to be a great mentor to your children. The purpose behind discipline is to not let evil root in the heart of your child. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. The rod of discipline will remove it from them." Again, we would like to all think that our precious baby is the exception to the rule, that child is sweet and lovable and cuddleable, and that is true. We would like to think that the child comes to us with a blank slate that we write on. But a child doesn't come with a blank slate, born with a sin nature, and needs a mom and dad to help teach them how to get to Jesus, and needs a mom and dad to tell them, to help them see how they walk in the Spirit rather than walk in the flesh. This is the principle here. Deal with sin early. Don't let it root in your heart's in the heart of your child. Use a level-headed spiritual wisdom and knowledge to develop an early intervention strategy to help your child stay away from letting sin root in their heart. One last point on this one. A person who counseled me when I was a young dad made this type of statement. I'm not sure I got all the words right, but the theory is this: mold your child's heart as the mortar begins to set. For it's much easier to mold soft mortar than to have to chisel it after it has cured to cement later in their life. Mold their heart while it's still moldable, soft and pliable. A third thing I noticed in my toolbox was I need shop towels or a lot of paper towels when I work on the project. You see, I need these in abundance. I have a unique ability to get paint, tile mortar, grout, caulking in the most unwanted places when I do a project. As a dad, you will not be perfect, and you will not make the right decision every time. The question is, Dad, when you blow it, is James 4:10 part of your thinking process? Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Sometimes, Dad, we can let our egos and pride, dads, don't let ego and pride become your parenting ally, for they will lead you down the wrong path in taking care of your children. When you have acted wrongly, Dad, by jumping to a conclusion, blaming your child when you didn't know all the facts, scolding your child about something because you didn't understand the situation, that's a good time to exercise the spirit of humility. You see, because, Dad, you want to make sure that you don't let self-righteousness rule your heart by denying the wrong that you did just because you're the biggest person in the room. What we want our children to learn from Dad is that you model for your children how to deal with mistakes by showing them how to deal with mistakes. If you are proud and arrogant and it's always somebody else's fault, don't be surprised if your child feels the same way when they blow it, that it's somebody else's fault. There's another reason other than the fact that I made some bad decisions along the way. Dad, your child needs to hear you to say when you are wrong that hey, I'm sorry. I had to apologize to so-and-so this week because I jumped to a conclusion. They need to see that in you. They need to hear that in you because that's how they will learn to deal with their mistakes. You need to have the towels to clean up the mess. Humility is that towel that helps to clean up the mess. Your children don't need a perfect dad. I know that because God didn't create any of those. Every child needs to learn in their life how to clean up their own mess with others. We will all make mistakes. We will all sin. We will all fail at some things. And so it is important during the developmental years of your child that they learn from you how to be wrong gracefully, how to accept responsibility honestly, and how to get up after a failure in order to press on. It is important for your child to hear you say, "I was wrong. Will you forgive me?" This teaches a good pattern of behavior to your children. Why pretend we're always right when we know we're not, and they know we're not? We're just lying to ourselves and others. Dad, if you think you are doing it right all the time, you're probably the only person that feels that way. And so, one last point about cleaning up messes. Once the mess is cleaned up, it's time to move on. When I was much younger in the ministry, a dad came to me one time and he said to me that they had a problem at their house. Their youngest son had a temper, got mad at dad's demand for him to finish his chores, and on his way to his room, he punched a hole in the wall. He said he and his wife were going to leave the hole in the wall to remind the child of his angry temper so it might remind him of the damage that an angry temper does. He asked me what I thought of that plan. And I guess in my young brashness, I told him I thought it was a lousy plan. I suggested that they might try another approach. Have the son earn the money to pay for the supplies to fix the hole, and then have dad and son go and repair the hole, and then have dad and son paint the wall, and then finish up by having the appropriate discipline plan already put out there, a loss of privilege or whatever it might be. Then once it is all done, the punishment is done, the wall is fixed, discipline is over, move on. No one wants to be reminded of their failures day in and day out. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that with us? That he just constantly throws our failures in front of us to remind us about, you blew it, you didn't do the right thing, you mess up too often, you know. No, we need to move on. When the discipline is done and all has been said, the penalty has been met out, it's time to move on. We need to figure out the best way to clean up the mess. And when the mess is cleaned up in a responsible way, then we're ready to move on. One last analogy that I'd like to use today as we talk about the Father's toolbox is that I have found these things to be very useful. These are clamps, and I didn't bring any with me, but clamps and glue. I need clamps and glue because I'm pretty good at breaking some things. In life, there's going to be tough circumstances to face. There's going to be crises to manage, hard issues to deal with at home, chaos that's going to occur, and things don't always go as planned. For those of you that have adult children, did it always go as planned for you when you were raising children? Did the process of child rearing include no problems, no difficulties, no chaos? Well, certainly we know that life is not that way. As dads in times of crisis and confusion, you are the pace setter who holds all things together. You're the guy. You're the one in the home that you bring Jesus' light to bear in the situation that you have. You're the one that brings the clamps and brings all the broken pieces back together and helps to restore what was broken. When chaos breaks out, your family is going to need the steady influence in the family to hold things together. The family is going to be looking somewhere for leadership, and they ought to, Dad, be able to look to you because of the stability of your faith in Jesus, your desire to love him and your desire to glorify him, and even more importantly, your desire to trust him when things are difficult on the family. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Gary Ezzo teaches a parenting series called Growing Kids God's Way. And one of the philosophies that stuck with me through my parenting years of the children when they were small was most children learn values, they're caught, not taught. Values are caught, not taught. You can help your children memorize all the verses you want. You can help them go to Sunday school and learn. You can train. But you know what's going to really impact them most? Is when they see you applying the truth to your life. And they're going to say, oh, that's what the Bible means when it says patience. Oh, that's what the Bible means when it says honor God with your first fruits. Oh, that's what the Bible means when it says, love your neighbor. Oh, that's what the Bible means when it says, love your enemy. You see, you are the one who teaches them the application of the principle. You show them how it applies to life, and therefore the just man walks in his integrity. He walks in the integrity of the Lord. He takes the truth, and what he has learned in his mind, he mimics in his behavior as he goes through life. In every home, there will be days of crisis and difficulty, hardship and frustration, sinful attitudes and bad behavior. Dad, where do you turn for wisdom and insight? Who do you trust for provision and security? And whose wisdom and strength do you pursue in the day of trial and testing? Do you have a spirit of compliment, or do you have a spirit of murmuring and grumbling? Do you have a spirit of complaint? Are you the guy that they know who can always make lemonade out of the lemons? Because as you look at Jesus, you know he's your Lord, and he has you safely in his hand because you serve a wonderful Savior. You are the glue and the clamps that is bring everything together when things are falling apart. During my porch project, I get a lot of these moments when I go through these projects that I do. I failed to pre-drill a hole in a thin piece of wood that I was going to screw into holding some wire on the gate that I was building. It was my last piece of wood, and I didn't want to have to go down to Home Depot or Lowe's to buy more wood. And because I failed to drill that hole into the wood, when I drilled the screw into it, the wood went and split. Ugh. Yes, another one of those, Kent, you idiot, what were you thinking? You know better than that. And so as I looked at it, I went to my tool shed or to my toolbox, and I picked up the clamp and I picked up the glue and I put some glue, clamped it, came back in a short time later, and it was stable and good enough to use again. Holding it together in times of family frustrations and problems and difficulties. Dad, you're the patriarch. Your strength and your determination and trusting Jesus and pointing the family to Jesus is essential in building the firm foundation under your children. 1 Timothy 2:8 says this, therefore I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Dad, are you that guy? Is that you in your home? Do you children look at your life and see not the imprint of Jesus on you, but the imprint of Jesus in you? Is that what your children see? We serve but one God, and we ought to glorify him in all we do. The hammer, appropriate discipline. The level, keeping things in the right perspective. The shop towels, learning how to clean up the mess, our own mess, with personal accountability. Glue and clamps, holding things together when things seem to be falling apart. Dad, you're that glue, the patriarch, who brings faith into the family to lead them. So Dad, happy Father's Day. I want to encourage you to go to the toolbox. Be wise in what you use and how you use it. Don't enter into the process tired and fatigued, but enter into the process with the joy of the Lord in your heart, having sought his counsel and his direction in leading your family. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you are a God who cares about us, that you have built the structure of the home. You're the one who gave to children moms and dads. You're the one who have instructed us to train up the children in the way that they should go. You're the one who says that we ought to put it on our doorposts and on the lintel of our house, and that we need to teach and to train. You're the one that has given parents the authority to train and to teach their children to follow you. And so, Lord, we don't want to advocate that responsibility to others. We don't want to give it away. We don't want to leave it to the government. We don't want to leave it to school systems. We don't want anybody else to own that responsibility for our family. But we take it unto ourselves. Yes, it will be work. At times it will be frustrating. Even at times we might say, wow, I sure blew that one. But in all of it, Lord, we ask that we will remain sensitive to your Holy Spirit, that we will be principled in your truth, and that we will model well for our children what it means to follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, we would like to